Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Patience. The scripture reading is 1 Timothy 1, 12-17. Thank you to Earl, Jeff, Barbara, and Dawn for being part of the video.
Good morning, everyone. Happy that you're here, and if you're visiting, we want you to be made especially welcome. Our numbers are down this morning because of service taking place at Great Lakes with Alumni Weekend. So I heard there were over 200 people at the alumni dinner last night. So I think that people are trying to maybe get together after 3 years of non-activity in terms of alumni at Great Lakes. So anyway, we wish to welcome you again and hope that our time together is beneficial and encouraging, and as we give praise to God. In terms of an involvement survey, you can talk to Adam or check the bulletin or Edsby for information. And if you have any interest in being involved in some way here at the church, then there will be opportunity to sign up on those formats. Katrin, Ivy, and Ellis have birthdays, and Len and Debbie, an anniversary. Adult Bible class. So beginning on November 13th at 9:30, Dawn will be teaching a class on seldom studied prophets. So this is a decision that's been made to fill a void that's been now for 2.5 years plus in terms of maybe getting together and encouraging each other with the study of scripture. So appreciate your attendance at that. Prayer requests. Jack is home from the hospital, as is Len. Len's doing somewhat better, regaining some strength and getting out and playing ladder ball once in a while. And maybe some bingo too. So the reality is that he's a little bit more mobile than he was, so we're thankful for that. And Val, of course, is still in the hospital in Grimsby. So we mention these folks in prayer. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your concern for each person here. We thank you for your guidance. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the salvation offered to each of us through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. We pray, Father, that you'll help us this morning as we worship together to give you honor and praise, to help us to be encouragement to each other. And we pray, Father, that you would bless those wherever they are today from our congregation. Some are traveling, some are at Great Lakes. We thank you for the work that goes on there. We thank you for the encouragement that so many people have had throughout the years because of the school, because of its ongoing good work. We thank you for the young lives that come each year, and we pray that you will help this year to be a success in terms of spreading your word, your love, your goodness and kindness to young people. And Father, we thank you for our opportunity to help in some small way to that end as the students meet with us on a weekly basis. So we pray that we will be a source of encouragement to them. And we pray, Father, that they in turn can be an encouragement to us. And so we thank you for their willingness to even be involved in our teaching with young people. And we pray that you will bless each person from Great Lakes as they come our way so that we might also bless them. Father, we pray that you will help us this morning. We thank you for the degree of healing in Len. We pray for Jack and his ongoing difficulties and Marie as well. We pray that you'll be a source of comfort and guidance to them. Father, we pray that you will help us to be your people this week. Help us to find ways to serve you and bring you honor and praise. We pray that you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope everyone has a communion cup. I'm going to go back to older practice, and I'm going to ask you to take the bread when I pray at first, and then I'll make a few more comments before we take the juice. Today, Don is going to speak to us about patience. And it got me thinking about God's patience in bringing his children home. If you think about it, God was patient after Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. And humanity grew, and they got more wicked all the time. And God was finally forced to start again. And he chose Noah. And it tells us that God was patient in the days of Noah. It took 100 years for that ark to be built, for God to plan how he was going to restart things. And then after that, of course, people got wicked again. The Tower of Babel was their attempt to reach God on their own terms, not God's terms. And so God was patient until he found a man by the name of Abraham who was willing to leave his country and his people to follow God to a country he didn't know. And then, when his people that he was trying to build needed correction and needed redirection, God raised up Moses to take them from the land of Egypt. But again, they rebelled. Again, they wouldn't follow God, and he was forced to wait patiently for 40 years while an entire generation passed away until they could be in the land that they promised. And then years and years, God waited while they demanded a king. Not God's plan, but he worked with them until finally he felt it was time for his son to come and be with us. And then he waited during that time while his son spent his days trying to show God to the people. An entire lifetime. His son grew up. We think about 3 years he spent preaching to people, teaching them, demonstrating that he was God's representative. And how did they repay him? They accused him falsely of all kinds of things, including blaspheming against his own father, and put him on a cross. And that, I think, might have been the time when God's patience was tried to the most. From the time of that garden to the time when Jesus finally said, "It's finished," and gave himself up, God had lost his son. He was completely taken from him so that we might have life anew. We break bread this morning to remember that Jesus gave himself on that cross, that he separated himself from God for the first and only time in all of eternity, specifically so that we could be washed clean. Let's go to him now as we pray for this bread that reminds us that he walked this earth in human form. Father, we thank you so much that you were so patient, that you waited for just the right time to send your son, that he came and walked among us, that he felt the same things that we feel, hunger, temptation, Father, frustration, all those things that we find in our lives, he saw as he wanted so desperately to bring your children home. And Father, we thank you that he put himself aside. He gave himself to your will that we might be brought back to you. We break this bread now in remembrance of the fact that he lived and he died for us. We pray in his name. Amen. If God is patient, then we need to be patient too. James reminds us of the example of the farmer. Because as important as the cross is, it wasn't God's end game. It was where Christ won a victory so that we could be with God. And James reminds us that farmers have to wait patiently for the rain in order to have a crop. God is waiting patiently for his crop. It's our job as Christians to reach out to everyone who doesn't know Jesus in a personal way. So James says, "Be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the Lord's return is near. Until that time, it's our job to make his name known to all the people who don't yet have a relationship with him, because there's nothing that God wants more in all the universe than to have his children with him forever." Let's go to God in prayer once more. Father, we thank you for this cup that reminds us that he shed his blood, that it washes us clean, that he presents us spotless and white as your children, freed from the sin that so easily entangles us. If the people of James' day were having trouble waiting on you, how much more are we two millennia later having trouble? It's so easy for our lives to just go on as if it's just another day and Jesus hasn't come yet. Help us to live in expectation, Father. Help us to live with joy because he has triumphed. And Father, help us to spread the message to other children that he has died and he is ready to present them to his Father. We thank you for the blood of his covenant. In Christ's name and through the Spirit we pray. Amen.
So it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. I'm reminded that sometimes our attendance is a little bit smaller than we like to, but I'm also remembering that there are people around the world who will be receiving this message. And today, with the Great Lakes homecoming, there are people who will be there celebrating and worshiping there as well. So we're always delighted to have you here. Please don't get discouraged. Sometimes if you feel like there aren't as many people that you'd like to have here, there are people around the world who are watching this. And so we just live in an amazing time that God gives us the privilege to share this message and that there are people who are receiving it. One of the ways that we explain God, if God can be explained, is he is the fruit of the Spirit. God is love. God is joy. God is patient. God is kind. God is good. God is so faithful. And God is gentle. And he has self-control, of course. And living out these virtues helps us to be closer to God. We pray to him, but we also understand the fruit of the Spirit, that we really can be closer to him. I came across this article by Chuck Swindoll that I thought you might enjoy. Having just held a memorial service for a friend several years younger than I, who had died with liver cancer, I'd been thinking about how to respond when struck by an arrow of affliction. Not a little irritating dart, but an arrow plunged deeply. My friend chose not to curl up in a corner with the calendar and put X's on days. On the contrary, the news of his malignancy only spurred him on to drain every ounce out of every day. His physician had told him that he would probably pass pretty soon, before Thanksgiving. And he said, says who? Not only did he live through Thanksgiving, at Christmas he threw a party. The following Easter was delightful. A fun picnic on the 4th of July was a great time. And he had special celebration in the planning stage for his Thanksgiving. A close friend of his told me that the last time they talked, he had made an appointment to get his teeth fixed. I love that kind of spunk, he says. It underscores one of my unspoken philosophies of life. Forget quantity, pursue quality. Look beyond the pain if you can, and you will find incredible perspective. When the thorn punctured the Apostle Paul's balloon, he refused to wallow in self-pity and whine away the balance of his days. He learned glory in weakness. He discovered a contentment in the midst of distresses, persecutions, and difficulties. Patience became a lifestyle. Back in the mid-1980s, Bill Marriott Jr. had hit the big time. His hotels and service were the talk of industry. He had acquired new properties in New York, Washington, and Atlanta. Financially, he was fixed many times over. Even had a fine family resort on a beautiful lake in New Hampshire. Then, while starting the engine of his boat one morning, Bill was literally blown out of the water, an accident that would scar him for the rest of his days. Did he give up? Did he surrender to the arrow that stung him so deeply? No. He accelerated. He determined to press on stronger than ever. So, which arrow has struck you recently? Pain? Unfair treatment? False accusations? struggles at home, somebody throwing rocks. Then he says this, make a decision to do what you are going to do even better than you had planned. Life's arrows are difficult, but they're setbacks that can sometimes, if we allow it, help us to regroup, renew, and reload. It is so true. Patience is a virtue. But it's also true that patience isn't easy. Patience is the very nature of God. And I'm confident that God is patient with us. So, we need to be patient with one another. I appreciate that article. And I just want to say a couple of words today about patience as we go through the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at love, joy, and peace, and now today, patience. Marjorie Holmes said, perhaps the hardest lesson to learn in life is patience. To wait unperturbed while the child, some of us remember this, while the child in the high chair does everything with his food except eat it, quietly to hear out the tales and complaints of a long-winded neighbor or a friend, to give earnest attention to a son or a daughter as he or she describes in minute detail the movie or an episode at school, not to interrupt, not to be exasperated, to curb the forces within us that would hurry, always in a hurry. No, but to be patient, to breathe deeply, and remember that God is patient, and he pours out his love into our hearts. Our part is to receive it and to thank him for the wonderful gift of patience. And sometimes patience is just stop, breathe deeply, and remember, God is with me. In the midst of all of this struggle, whatever it is, he promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I am always with you. You are my child. So sometimes we can look at amazing people in Scripture and some of the amazing things that they've done and the troubles that they've gone through. We're part of all of that. As God took care of them, God takes care of us. So in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminded Christians to be patient to the very best of their ability. And when Paul writes letters, he's often in prison as he's writing his letters. And here's what he wrote. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Be completely humble, gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through a bond of peace. There's only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in all. And Paul had this patience. For some reason, I have this picture in my mind. You know, Paul was thrown into prison so many times. He'd go into prison, he'd go out, come back and forth all the time. And I just picture in my mind, it may never have happened, but I picture Paul as he's writing letters while he's in prison. And the jailer comes and opens him up and says, okay, Paul, you can go home. But just give me a couple more minutes. I have things to write. And that would be Paul. It wouldn't matter where he was. Its circumstances are difficult. I understand that. But at the same time, he's saying, I have to be patient in my writings. I have to be patient in what I'm going to say. He was a very patient person. And if God is living in us, and how many of us believe that God does live in us? If God is living in us and he's giving us his patience, because patience is part of God. God will never say to us, hurry up and be patient. It just doesn't work. God is helping us every day to be a patient person. Patience comes from hard knocks in life. Talk to a very patient person, and they'll tell you how many knocks and setbacks they've gone through. And because of that, patience has become a lifestyle. We don't sweat the small stuff. We remember that God said, I am always with you. So the Apostle Paul had hardships, and they seemed to go hand in hand. So patience became just who he was, part of his life. He expected things to be difficult. He expected hard knocks, but he also tried to live out with this patience and demonstrate patience to others. So listen to Paul's testimony. Here's what he said. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. Listen to this. In beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, and in hunger, in purity and understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine, yet regarded as an impostor, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making others rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Do you ever feel that way? We can get so lopsided in negative thinking and difficult situations that we've had to go through that we sometimes forget all the positives we have in Christ Jesus. And the positives always outweigh the negatives, because we remember, death is not even the end. That God promises life in him forever and forever. So finding patience is quite amazing. Somewhat comically, I think, at least I thought it was, Henry Beecher said to a group of preachers, and I promise I won't do this, there is no such thing as preaching patience into people unless the sermon is so long that they have to practice it while they listen. So I promise that's not going to happen today. So we just talk about this patience of God, that if we could just think about, be personal now, each one be personal. If you can just think, how many times has God displayed unlimited patience in my life? Why did I get so impatient when God is saying, I'm giving you part of myself? Patience. Not easy. Guaranteed, not easy. But it's there. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, here's what John wrote. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Christ Jesus. He was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Christians in the first century were being annihilated because they followed the love and teaching of Jesus and not the emperor. They firmly declared Jesus as Lord, even knowing then it might lead to their death. So, John reminds Christians, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of Christians. We are so fortunate living in Canada that we are not thrown in prison because we say that Jesus is Lord. But there are places in the world where it's very dangerous to be a Christian. And so John reminds Christians, this calls for the patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of Christians. And because of that, we remember he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he lives within us. And for some reason, God loves us so much that he's willing to call us his chosen, faithful followers. And I know that can just kind of roll off our tongue, but if you could just think about the fact that when God looks at you and myself, he's saying, that's mine. She's mine. He's mine. And they follow the best they can. And I'm going to pour out my love into them. And I'm going to give them part of me to you. I'm going to give them love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. They might get mixed up a few times. And they might mess up a few times, but I have patience. And because I'm pouring myself into them, they'll learn patience and they'll demonstrate patience. Listen to the remarkable words that belong to each one of us. It's in Revelation. Here's what he says. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. Then a voice came from the throne of God saying, praise our God, all you, his servants who love him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water and like loud peals of thunder shouting these words, hallelujah, for our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, be glad, and give glory to him. So in conclusion today, yes, we will all go through very difficult times. And maybe some people today who are hearing this message said, I am going through difficult times and facing challenges. It's part of our story, of everyone's story. It's a reality today. In the first century, John reminded Christians then and now the promise that Christians overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much even to shrink from death. And this takes great patience, remembering that God is a patient God and that God lives in us and he loves us beyond explanation. It's true that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have life everlasting, not just in the future, but today and tomorrow. And the future. May we do our best to demonstrate as we go through the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and also patience. And thank you for being patient with me today.
Maybe you've heard this expression, Lord, give me patience now. Right? So on the one hand, intellectually, I know patience is a good thing, and I want God to help me with it. On the other hand, I'm impatient. Hurry up. Well, maybe that's our split personality, right? The divine and the reality of living on this earth. And so that's the challenge for all of us, to put into practice. See, that's the word. You got to practice. And usually when you practice something, you make a decision. I decide in this situation, I'm going to practice or be, or at least try to be, patient. Even though I know my tendency might not to be patient, but I'm going to try to practice the fruit of the Spirit, in this case, patience. And so that's the challenge with putting all of these fruits of the Spirit into our daily life and actually living them. See, that's the challenge, is deciding to be patient and kind and joyful and loving and self-controlled. And I have trouble with that because I am human. And I don't get it always right, as I'm sure you do not either. But the reality is we're all works in progress. And the grace given to us by God, the gift of salvation, constantly perfects us when we're imperfect. And so that's our challenge this week, is to go with God and to remember he's going with us and to put into practice the characteristics that he wants us to demonstrate to the world this week, patience being one of them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son and his example as he lived on this earth. We thank you for his patience with mankind and your patience with mankind. Because here we are on this earth floundering around and doing so many things which are contrary to your will, and yet you demonstrate patience and forgiveness and kindness and goodness towards us. So we pray, Father, that you will help us to emulate that as we interact with others this week, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Have a good week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. The scriptures marked NET are from the Net Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.